You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Thursday, April 9, 2026. Eyes of the Ranger: How the Iran War Reshapes Global Gas and LNG This Year and Beyond. Published by Lisa Scheidler and Lindsay Schneider. U.S. LNG has been on the fast track as new export capacity along the Texas and Louisiana Gulf Coast draws in increasing volumes of U.S. natural gas. But the impact of that unprecedented build-out has only intensified over the past several weeks, as U.S. and Israeli forces launched surprise airstrikes in Iran, triggering retaliation that disrupted traffic through the Strait of Hormuz and knocked out key parts of Qatar's LNG infrastructure. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss how the conflict with Iran could impact the U.S. gas and LNG market in the short, medium, and long term. Today's blog is a recap of our March 26th webcast, Invasion USA, U.S. LNG Update and Impacts of the War in Iran, available to our Backstage Pass, Aero Model, and LNG Voyager subscribers. The title of the webcast riffs on the 1985 action film Invasion USA, which starred Chuck Norris as a one-man wrecking crew fighting off a surprise assault on American soil. Predictably, the movie is a bit campy, but it fits the larger-than-life aura that Norris came to embody. Whereas we dove into the specifics around the war and LNG in the webcast, here we'll outline the top issues. To begin to understand the importance of the conflict in Iran on LNG markets, first note that the world's largest gas field lies in the Persian Gulf between Qatar and Iran. Iran claims the northern part, which they call South Pars, while Qatar controls the southern part, called the North Dome. The naming is kind of upside down, if you ask us. Next, let's look at what's changed. The conflict didn't just create a choke point for global shipping at the Strait of Hormuz, it also directly hit gas infrastructure. After the strikes by the US and Israel began on February 28, Iranian retaliation effectively blocked the Strait of Hormuz, stranding large volumes of oil, gas, NGLs, and refined products. A reopening of the strait was a key condition of the two-week ceasefire announced by the US and Iran on April 7, but it's uncertain how quickly it might impact vessel traffic. As a result, Qatar, the second-largest LNG exporting nation in the world after the US, declared force majeure on March 2, effectively reducing global LNG supply by roughly 20%. Things escalated further on March 18 to 19, with Israel striking Iran's Assiluweh gas processing facility and Iran retaliating with strikes against Qatar's Ras Laffan complex, taking offline two liquefaction trains that are each partially owned by ExxonMobil. Those two, Train 4 and Train 6, represent about 12.8 million tons per annum, 1.7 BCF per day, of LNG capacity. That's roughly 17% of Qatar's total capacity, and, interestingly, roughly comparable to the volume Qatar Energy is set to lift from the Golden Pass LNG terminal. A 70-30 joint venture between Qatar Energy and ExxonMobil, the terminal recently achieved first LNG, the partner said March 30. In Europe and Asia, natural gas prices have taken off. As shown in Figure 2 below, the Dutch Tidal Transfer Facility benchmark for European gas and the Japan-Korea marker for spot LNG into Asia have both pushed sharply higher since the war began. But while the global market's reaction to the conflict with Iran has been dramatic, the U.S. gas and LNG story looks a lot calmer, with the Henry Hub spot price seemingly indifferent to the global picture. Forward Henry Hub prices continue to track with U.S. fundamentals regardless of the international headlines, in contrast to the forward prices for TTF and JKM. In the short term, there really isn't much upside to U.S. LNG production, and what there is comes from commissioning projects rather than the war. Nameplate U.S. LNG export capacity is a little above 16 BCF per day today, including all the in-service trains and terminals plus Plaquemine LNG. Feed gas demand is closer to 19 BCF per day, but actual LNG send-out is lower because a portion of the gas is consumed on-site or lost as boil-off plus additional gas consumed by commissioning terminals. Note, our LNG Voyager report tracks these statistics weekly. But just because domestic gas pricing hasn't been affected doesn't mean there haven't been strategic recalibrations for the LNG sector. We can break down the situation into short, medium, and long-term impacts. Short-term. While the U.S. market remains insulated from the impacts of the war, there are two ways the U.S. can help offset some, albeit a small amount, of the Qatari losses in the short term. First, there's the U.S.'s peak production capacity. Most U.S. LNG is sold under long-term contract, but some is available for short-term sales. Most, if not all, U.S. terminals have the ability to produce LNG above their contracted level. We saw that in action last year. In 2025, U.S. LNG exports averaged about 4 BCF per day above long-term contract levels. A lot of that came from commissioning volumes at Venture Global's Calcasieu Pass LNG and Plaquemine LNG. Calcasieu Pass's long-term contracts began on April 15, 2025. Plaquemine is operating at full capacity but technically still commissioning, and none of its long-term contracts have begun. That means all of those cargoes are being marketed by Venture Global, rather than going to the terminal's long-term off-takers. The contracts associated with the Phase 1 facilities, which is a little more than half of the long-term contracts, will start later this year, contingent upon the completion of commissioning, with the Phase 2 contracts beginning in 2027. Our LNG Voyager quarterly report meticulously tracks these contracts and project developments, even with new contracts starting up this year at Plaquemine and a handful of Cheniere Energy contracts that also begin in 2026, U.S. exports could still average around 5 BCF per day above contracted levels this year, especially as additional capacity begins ramping online in the back half of the year. The other primary way that the U.S. can assist in the current market situation is because U.S. LNG is extremely destination flexible. While most U.S. LNG is sold under long-term contract, that does not mean it is sold to a specific destination. The key is who holds the offtake. The majority of U.S. LNG is contracted by portfolio players and traders, which makes all the difference. See two of us. For the most part, these folks can ship cargoes wherever the price signal is strongest. Only a small chunk is tied to specific end markets, and the rest can pivot as conditions warrant, a setup that isn't changing anytime soon. As new projects come online, that dynamic is expected to continue, with portfolio players taking a large share of new capacity. The left chart in Figure 3 of the blog shows how that contracted capacity is distributed, with most volumes held by portfolio players and traders, three middle columns, rather than end users in Europe or Asia. While the majority of U.S. LNG heads to Europe, we have seen an increase in cargoes to Asia as the war has dragged on. In March, the U.S. exported 33 LNG cargoes to Asia, compared to 18 in February. Nearly all of those are taking the long route around the Cape of Good Hope in Africa, with the Strait of Hormuz blocked and near constant traffic issues at the Panama Canal. Global gas prices have been higher since the war, but Asian prices are well above European ones, incentivizing cargoes to take the longer, more expensive journey. Medium term. Looking out a couple of years, the picture shifts. The global LNG market is expected to stay structurally tight through the late 2020s. Even assuming that Rosslauen can partially restart over the next few months, damaged trains will keep some Qatari volumes offline for years, limiting supply. In addition, Qatar had planned to begin bringing online its four-train Northfield East, NFE, and two-train Northfield South, NFS, LNG export projects in 2026 and 2027, but that timeline has been pushed back at least a year. Those six new megatrains are each designed to produce about 7.8 million tons per annum, 1 BCF per day. Altogether, they eventually will bring the facility's capacity to 16.5 BCF per day. Qatar is also planning a Northfield West, NFW, expansion that would bring two more megatrains online for an incremental 2 BCF per day, but that schedule has been delayed to 2031. The forward curve captures the global dynamic, tight in the near term and looser further out, pointing to a constrained window before the next wave of U.S. LNG supply comes online in the 2030s. The start of production at Golden Pass LNG in Texas helps, but it is not a one-for-one replacement for lost or delayed Qatari volumes, given contract structures, even with Qatar Energy's stake. Commissioning cargoes and projects like CP2, another Venture Global project, can backfill some of the gap, but not all. The result is a market that remains tighter than pre-war levels, reinforcing the value of U.S. LNG. Long term. It's hard to predict how long the Iran conflict will continue and its long-term market impact, which is the part of our analysis that requires the most speculation. The ceasefire between Iran and the U.S. offers some hope that the conflict will wind down in the short term, but there is no guarantee it won't become a long-term issue. As more LNG projects come online through the 2030s, the U.S. gas market will gradually become less sheltered and more linked to global prices. Over the long term, the pressure will build as U.S. feed gas demand steadily rises as more terminals come online. But we should also note that, unlike natural gas, crude oil prices are already much higher. If crude prices stay stronger for longer, that could drive a lot of incremental associated natural gas production, especially in the Permian, and put downward pressure on gas prices. More LNG build-out puts upward pressure on U.S. gas prices, as what demand can't be met by associated gas growth will have to be met by dry gas production. That's where the Henry Hub price scenarios come in. Figure 4 of the blog shows the RBN Lower 48 production forecast at three different Henry Hub price scenarios. The low scenario has production when Henry Hub prices average $2.50 per million BTU over the next 5 years. In the mid case, Henry Hub averages $4 per million BTU over the same period, and in the high case, it's $5.50 per million BTU. As U.S. domestic demand plus LNG feed gas demand from operational and under-construction projects moves higher, prices move out of the mid-case and into the high-case. How high U.S. gas prices rise will be a function of how much additional LNG is greenlit and how much associated gas production grows. The dashed and dotted black lines show U.S. demand plus LNG feed gas demand if LNG Voyager's Tier 1, Tier 2 and Tier 3 projects advance. Even before the war in Iran, more U.S. LNG projects seemed likely to go ahead, and in the context of the war, interest in U.S. LNG has only intensified. For now, the U.S. natural gas market is protected. Export capacity is essentially maxed out and domestic supply remains strong. But that buffer will not hold forever. As new LNG projects come online and more capacity gets locked into long-term commitments, the U.S. market becomes more tied to global demand and pricing. The destination flexibility of U.S. LNG helps redirect cargoes where they are needed most, and facilities can push toward peak output when margins justify it, but those factors only go so far. Maintenance constraints and the duration of the conflict will ultimately determine how long any global tightness and price pressure stick around. For more insights on the ever-changing LNG industry, check out our LNG Voyager report. Eyes of the Ranger was written by Tyrk Wilder and sung by Chuck Norris. It first appeared on Walker, Texas Ranger, in the 11th episode of Season 3 in January 1995, making its final appearance in Episode 24 in Season 9 in May 2001. The lyrics of the song describe a Texas Ranger searching out bad guys and making them pay for their wrongdoings. It was never released as a single. The song earned Tyrk Wilder the BMI TV Music Award for 3 consecutive years. Wilder met Norris through Norris' bodyguard, Bob Green, who gave Norris the Wilder demo of Eyes of the Ranger. Norris liked the song and got it placed in the show with Norris singing it, accompanied by uncredited musicians at a Dallas studio. Wilder re-recorded the song and released it on his solo studio album, I'm Letting Go, released independently in December 1999. Chuck Norris was an American martial artist, actor, screenwriter and author. The champion martial artist got his start in acting from his friend, Bruce Lee. His friend and martial arts student, Steve McQueen, encouraged Norris to take acting classes at MGM Studios. His first significant leading role was in the 1978 film Good Guys Wear Black. He starred in 34 motion pictures and 15 television shows and authored 11 books. His best-known role was Sergeant Cordell Walker on the hit television series Walker, Texas Ranger. We at RBN are saddened to learn of the passing of Chuck Norris in Kauai, Hawaii, in March at 86. We extend our sympathies to his family, friends, and fans.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.